Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Hi, everyone. It's Gavin J, the best thing since grass. And you're listening to Therapy Suite right here on UKF Radio, the world's number one talk radio. This week, I speak to Paul Taylor, who's an ex-Marine and paratrooper. He's also a very driven business owner and has to deal with an unbelievable amount of mental health pressure. He now helps clients achieve their fitness and mental well-being goals. Paul, welcome to the show. How are you doing?
I'm very well, Gavin. Thanks for having me on the show.
Thanks for taking the time out. I know you've got a very busy week, so let's go for it. Basically, Paul, you've done so much, like, before getting to this point where you are now. Talk to us a bit about your background and how you got to where you are now.
Yeah, so I'm a bit of a long story. I feel like I've lived a few lives, to be honest. But yeah, I mean, I've always been into fitness, really, from a young age, but mainly just football and the usual. But I did get into kind of weightlifting and strength and conditioning when I was about 15 years old, when a friend of my father, basically he did a lot of training, and I just asked him if I could tag along. So I've always been kind of interested in it. But I didn't join the military till I was in my early 20s, so 21 years of age. And then it really kind of escalated from there, and I spent 10 years in the Royal Marines Parachute Regiment and Special Forces as a fitness instructor, among other things. So, yeah, it's given me, I've got quite a good background in it, not just strength and conditioning, but endurance and stretching, mobility, nutrition as well. So yeah.
Talk to us a bit more about when you was a Marine and paratrooper, what you do and what were the physical types of tasks that you'd get involved in that really tested the body?
Yeah, I mean, really from day one, I mean, you obviously expect there's going to be, it's going to be very challenging, but, you don't really appreciate how challenging until you're there. Especially when you start seeing people dropping off, from kind of within the first few days. But yeah, they really push you in the beginning. They want to see, who really wants to be there. But, it's really about pushing the body to the limits, I mean, it's unbelievable what our bodies can actually achieve and go through. And a lot of it is just, confidence. Once you actually break through some of these barriers, it's amazing how quickly your confidence can grow. And the military loves to put you in harsh environments for long periods of time, cold, wet, hungry, lack of sleep, and really push you physically, crawling up and down mountain features, when you've not slept in a couple of weeks for no food,
Gosh.
Yeah.
That sounds hefty.
Yeah.
Do they do it on purpose, basically, so that they want to make sure that when you're actually out there in the field that, you're trained, your body's ready to take it, you're conditioned and that kind of thing?
Yeah, I mean, the military have this saying, so fight, train hard, fight easy, and they want to know that, when it gets tough, whether you're in operations or, maybe not even on operations, maybe when you're cross training with other countries, we do a lot of training with the US Marine Corps, and some other kind of special forces from around the world. And it's about being able to, keep up with these guys and show that we can do our job. And, being able to operate in these environments, you can only do that by training hard, and that's what they want to do. And they only want people around them, and they only want to fight alongside other people, who can push themselves to those limits, and that's what it's about, just testing you,
That's fantastic. I think it's fantastic what you've been doing. What are the best exercises for seniors?
Yeah, so, when it comes to, age plays a big part, as we get older, there's a lot of factors that come into play. You know, our metabolism slows down, you know, our joints get a wee bit stiff, so there's a lot of things to come into play. But, you know, there are things that you can do, obviously, to kind of maintain, look after yourself and your body. You know, regular walking, you know, as you get older, it's kind of the low impact stuff that you want to be looking at, you know. So swimming, you can do strength and conditioning exercises as well in the gym. Of course you can. And it's very good to do so. But you just got to be very mindful that you can't go straight in and lift heavy weight like you might have been able to do in your, you know, teenage years or whatever, or your early 20s and 30s, you know. And we do lose muscle as we get older, and we have to be very aware of that. But, you know, things like yoga, balance exercises, you know, using Swiss balls, regular stretching, cycling, you know, Pilates, that type of thing. Yoga, you know, all these good things that are low impact, that get the body moving, you know, maintain your mobility. You know, you can still get your heart rate up, you can still build muscle, you know, you can still look after yourself, even into your kind of late 50s, 60s and 70s even.
Yeah, I remember talking to, it was part of my work as well. Years ago, I would speak to quite a few doctors, and would have general discussions about exercises and workouts and all the rest of it. And they always would talk about low impact, like you've mentioned, in terms of swimming and bike riding being the best low impact types of exercise to do for the, you know, so it's not too hefty on your joints.
Definitely. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. It's swimming especially. I mean, cycling's really good, obviously, for your legs, lower body, getting your heart rate up. But swimming's a great exercise because you're working multiple muscle groups. You know, you're using, you know, a lot of muscles in your body, you know, no matter really what kind of, you know, session you're doing in the pool, you know. And so it's a very good exercise. And a lot of the clients that I work with, especially the older ones, you know, I put swimming into their programs for that. But it's good for recovery as well.
Absolutely. I go swimming every week, more or less, and I just find it, you feel so good afterwards. Yeah, and you feel more focused as well, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, how can people stay fit and active as they get older? What's the best ways of doing it?
Yeah, I mean, it's probably routines, you know. I mean, as we get older, as careers change, as family commitments change and things, you know, so does our habits, you know. But yeah, I mean, it's a couple of ideas, you know, staying consistent, you know, maybe joining groups, you know, kind of like-minded groups of a similar age or whatever, you know, instead of just trying to do it on your own, because it just becomes a bit more enjoyable. And on that note, you know, do things that you enjoy, you know, when you're a bit younger, you tend to just, you know, do things to either make yourself look good, or you just really want to push yourself, you know, to see how well you can do, you know, and really push your limits. You know, as you get older, you know, you're better off really just finding things that you enjoy, even if that's golf, you know, maybe tennis or whatever it is, you know, get yourself out there, get your blood moving, you know, and yeah, you know, because it's the old saying, if you don't use it, you lose it. And it's, you know, it's very, very relevant to you know, your muscle tissue, et cetera, as well. So, you know, and just... yeah, just doing things that you enjoy, you know, mixing it up, you know, maintaining a good routine and just looking after yourself, yeah.
Absolutely. Do you talk to your clients also about their diet as well?
Yeah, so nutrition is a massive part of what we do. So I don't actually class myself as a personal trainer. I'm more of a coach. So I'd say this to a lot of the clients that approach me or get referred to me, is that I don't generally just, you know, like many PTs, I'll give them an hour of my time, because I don't believe I can give somebody everything that I know. Well, I know I can't within an hour or two. What I do is I create structured programs, and a massive part of that is nutrition, because training is just one part of, you know, exercise and training, looking after yourself. Okay. There's also other fundamental pillars, as I call it. So you've got your stretching, your mobility, your core stability. You've got your nutrition, your rest and recovery planning. All these things make up a really good, program. Because if you're just doing training all the time and you're not looking after, you're not getting the right macro balance, you're not getting the right calories, you're not going to be able to recover. Your muscles don't have what it needs to repair. So you need to make sure that you're working on these other areas, not just going into the gym and, and putting your body through a lot of stress. You need to give your body time to recover. And a lot of that recovery comes from good nutrition,
Absolutely. And I'm guessing people tend to have a balanced type of nutritional diet. Like, do they use a bit of supplement as well as your normal natural food?
Yeah, sure. I mean, a lot of the time it depends on your goals, right, as well. And depends what you're working towards. If you're looking towards just, kind of a nice, maintaining your weight, maybe you're already a good weight that you're comfortable with, but you just want to kind of maintain it, a nice, healthy, balanced diet is absolutely fine. If we've got clients that are in, and including myself here, that are very focused on developing a little bit of muscle, to get a nice defined body shape or whatever, then yeah, it's important that you get the extra protein in your diet, okay, and things like that. So yeah, so those types of substances, some creatine, things like that, right, that you can just add to your diet. What I do with my nutrition plans for my clients is I make sure they get everything through their meals. Okay. So what I don't do is just put, my clients on 6 protein shakes a day, for example. They're on well-balanced meal plan, but we do add, protein to different meals just to increase their protein intake for that muscle development and recovery.
That makes a lot of sense, and it's brilliant that you can help people put together such plans. Is it quite a lot of work working with the person to put together the right plan?
I mean, it is. I mean, but it's all about, it's a process. So initially, the kind of first step is I'll share like a nutrition tracker with them. And what they do is they'll record everything they eat and drink over a 7-day period. They'll get that back to me. And then I will create a personalized set of meal plans for them. Now, it's based on their actual, it's personalized. So it's based on their age, weight, height, and the amount of activity they're going to be doing. So somebody that's, doing intense exercise for 3, 4, 5 times a week, okay, is going to need a much different nutrition plan than somebody that's doing 2 or 3, light sessions per week. And it's very different again if somebody's got goals of developing muscle mass and somebody else that's, running an ultra marathon. So I have clients in both of those spaces. So the nutrition plans become very, very different. So it's all about working, looking at the goals of the client, working out what they need, to achieve those goals and putting those plans in place. But it's also about making adjustments as you go forward as well. And again, depending on the goals, if they're looking to gain a little bit of weight or reduce weight, then we have to make small adjustments to the nutrition plans as we go. And we generally do that once a month. We review where they are, make sure that their energy levels are good, making sure that they're recovering well between exercise sessions. And yeah, so it's a process over a few months really until we find the sweet spot, until we can get it right for them.
That's brilliant. And I think it's fantastic that you take a few months to do that, because it sounds like you analyze what's going on with the person and you fit it into their lifestyle. Is that right?
100%. Yeah. And that's the idea of the 7-day tracker, the nutrition tracker. So they write down everything that they eat and drink over that period. They get that back to me. I assess that. I look at what foods they like, because diets don't really work either. These kind of fad diets, in my experience, coming from my background, lots of endurance, nutrition and stretching is hugely important in the military and those type of environments. You just couldn't get through those type of courses without, understanding and applying good nutrition practices and stretching practices. So it does take time. But what we do is when they get that back to me, I then create their plans. And it's over. That's why I do these 12-week programs, because you're not going to get it right within the first week, but it's important that we make sure that it's sustainable and that they enjoy the meal plans. And it's not just like one of these diets where they're going to go on, eat salads for 3 or 4 weeks and then crash. And, all that work has gone out the window, and that's unfortunately, that's the kind of education some people have been given, eat salads to lose weight or whatever. It's just, it's wrong information, unfortunately.
It's not realistic, is it? You can't really sustain that. You can maybe do it for a little while, like what, a few days or a week, few weeks, whatever it might be. But then you've got to try and mix it up again with normal foods.
Yeah, but the thing is as well, like, you know, people think, oh, let's just eat chicken salad or whatever. You know, you get energy from carbohydrates and fats. Mm. You get, you know, protein is for, you know, muscle development, recovery, etc. So you need all of these, you know, you need those macros, that variation macros in your diet, and water, hydration is very, very important as well. You know, so, you know, if you're just eating salads to lose weight, for example, your body's just going to be storing these fats, you know, it's like a survival mode, right? And you're going to crash, you know, especially if you're training, you're doing regular exercise, you need the energy, but it's about eating the right type of foods, the right amounts at the right time throughout the day. You know, and that's where these nutrition plans come into play, and why they have such a big effect on my coaching programs.
That's brilliant. We're just going to a quick ad break, and we'll be right back.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
So Paul, thanks for that. That's some really useful information about, you know, some of the work that you do with your clients and the plans you put together. What do you think about these, you know, these kind of intermittent fasting diets and those rules, you know, like that, is it the 18-6 rule or the 8-16 rule and that kind of thing?
Yeah, it's a very good question. So I actually use a bit of that as well. So what I generally do is I'll put my clients at the start of their 12-week program or whatever program we've got them on. We'll put them on, we'll give them the nutrition plans, and we'll start them off just giving them a well-balanced diet, making sure that they're getting them into a routine of eating regular, eating the right amount of foods, etc. But then after 4 to 6 weeks, after we've made some adjustments, I'll generally put a lot of my clients on a bit of a fasting routine just to really shock the system, you know, and generally that it depends on their kind of, you know, working life, etc. But generally, you know, I'll put them on between maybe sort of 10 o'clock and 6 p.m. So only eating within a sort of 8-hour window there, you know. So kind of training fasting in the morning, which is very, very good, you know, because instead of your body using the food that you might have put in your body for breakfast, it's actually going to be using that stored energy in your body, you know, throughout your exercise routine. So, you know, generally if my clients have got cardio to do, et cetera, I'll tell them to do that fasted, and they'll be, you know, waiting to eat, you know, until say 10, 11 o'clock in the afternoon. And it really does make a really big difference. But I don't generally like to put people on that type of plan for a long time. I do know people, I've got friends that actually do it, you know, just constantly. But it's not optimal for muscle development, you know, because you're going quite long periods of time where your muscle is needing protein, etc. It's just one example for development. So, yeah, I do generally put my clients on it, but it's just, you know, 3 to 4 weeks just to kind of change things up, shock the system, and increase the metabolism.
That makes a lot of sense, because I think also some people would need to get some advice from their doctor as well, isn't it? If they're considering such diets, and, you know, not everyone, but if they've got some kind of monitoring going on. I mean, I do the 16-8 rule, but then I switch it up. I'll do it for like 70% of the week, and the rest of the time I just have a bit more of a normal lifestyle, if that makes sense. So yeah. I think I totally see what you're saying. It's good to mix it up, isn't it?
It is good to mix it up. I mean, I know these, you know, a lot, there's a lot of different diets out there, a lot of different routines. I know some people just have one big meal a day. You know, for me, it really depends on what you're trying to do in terms of training. You know, if you're trying to develop some muscle and build strength, you really need to be eating regular and often and getting the right amount of, you know, macros in your diet. You know, so it really depends on what you're doing. But yeah, you're absolutely right. You should obviously seek that advice. from a specialist. But you know, that's part of my process as well. So part of that, you know, the nutrition tracker and everything, I actually do a physical assessment at the very beginning of the program, and we talk about all that stuff to make sure that, you know, if they've got any kind of dietary requirements, or if anything's going to, you know, if they're diabetic, for example, you know, that type of thing. So it's just all things that we need to be very careful of when it comes to nutrition, you know.
Absolutely. Yeah. Is it safe to start a new exercise routine in your 50s or 60s or 70s?
Yeah, absolutely. I do hear a lot of people, when they first approach me in the kind of 50s, 60s bracket, they do, you know, worry about, you know, are they actually going to get any benefit? You know, are they going to get injuries and things like that? You know, it's absolutely, you know, safe to do. You just need to, you know, think about certain things. You know, you're not going to be able to jump straight into, you know, high intensity training, lifting heavy weight. Okay, you need to be careful. You need to start slowly, you know, build it up. All right. So maybe starting it off with, and again, it depends on how active you've been over your life as well. You know, if you come from a military background, or you know, fire brigade background or whatever, and you've been used to, or maybe you've been running marathons or playing a sport for your whole life, then, you know, I would put you in at a much higher level than somebody that, you know, hasn't really done anything their whole life, and then now they're 50, 60 year old, and now they want to, you know, they want to become a bit more mobile because they've started stiffening up as they get older. So you can absolutely start exercise, and I highly recommend it, because especially as we get older, we start to lose that muscle. You know, our body starts to break it down as we get older. We start to get stiffer. You know, we start to lose that functional movement and ability. So, you know, it's very, very important, actually, as you get older, to do this, you know, and it will help you live a happier, healthier, longer life.
Absolutely. What are some of the benefits of, like, strength training, for example, with older adults?
So, like I said, you know, as we age, you know, we naturally lose some muscle. You know, so it's really important that we, you know, have a good diet, and we do work on that, because, you know, even just simple things like getting up off the couch, or, you know, if we want to pick something up, as we get older, that will become more and more difficult. So it is important that we, you know, we try and maintain as much muscle as we can. And I'm not talking about, you know, bodybuilding here, you know, 50, 60 year old bodybuilders. I'm just talking about having functional muscle, so you can, you know, so you can live long, and, you know, and go about your, you know, your life, playing with your kids or whatever. You know, it's really important. You know, so yeah, so that it's really important to do.
Yeah, 100%, I can absolutely totally understand that. How do you prevent muscle and bone loss as you age?
Well, regular activity, you know, actually training. And to be honest, it's the same, you know, at any age. And what I mean by that is, if you don't do anything when you're in your 20s, 30s, you're going to lose it as well. You're not going to have any muscle there either. And it's just going to get worse and worse as you get older. You know, I've got clients that are in their kind of mid-20s, you know, and they haven't got a lot of muscle at all. They're actually very, very weak. And I've got clients that are in their 60s that absolutely smash it, you know. You know, high intensity, you know, I put them, you know, my classes that I do group classes in the area. And, you know, I've got 50-year-old, you know, clients that are in there and absolutely smashing it, you know, for the 40, 50 minutes that I run the classes for. So it's just about, you know, just working on it, you know, actually, you know, engaging into a regular fitness routine, you know, going to the gym, doing these things, doing some strength work, doing some cardio, doing stretching, using resistance bands and things like that, you know, and just really prioritizing it, you know, having a good diet, making sure you're drinking plenty of water. That's something people underestimate all the time. You know, the amount of water that you need, you know. So yeah, it's really, really important.
Water makes like 60% of the body, doesn't it? So 70% of the body or something?
More, actually, yeah, 76%, I believe it is. Yeah. And that's, your muscles are made up of that amount of water, you know. So it's really important. And with hydration, You know, it's really important because it actually transports the nutrients to the muscle around the body. You know, so it helps with your recovery and development. You know, it's fundamental, and it's all part of the nutrition plans that I do. You know, it's as well as giving the meal plans, they have a hydration plan. You know, so they need to, based on their activity levels and their body shape, because everybody I know, there's, you know, that kind of, you know, drink 2 liters of water. You should be drinking 2 liters of water, but everybody's different. You know, a 6 foot, you know, guy that's like 90 kg or whatever, you know, 95 kg or whatever, you needs a lot more water than, you know, somebody, you know, that's, you know, like 70 kg or whatever. You know, they just, everybody's different, and it depends on how much training you're doing as well, of course. But it's really, really important. People underestimate how much you need to drink actually throughout the day.
No, totally. It does sound like that, you know. And again, supplements, is that a good way to prevent muscle and bone loss at all?
Well, you can take supplements, but I'm a big believer, and I really believe in, so long as you've got a well-balanced diet, you can get everything that you really need. You know, to if you're on just a lifestyle type exercise program where you're just kind of maintaining your strength, and you're just working on your flexibility, and you're just doing it as a more of a lifestyle maintenance program, then, you know, you don't really need, you know, as you get older, you know, there'd be some things that you can take. So, for example, I used to take like glucosamine and things for my joints, and these things do help. But, you know, you can really avoid a lot of the problems if you just have a well-balanced diet. Okay, you get most of what you need from your food anyway. So, yeah.
So, like, for example, with like bone loss and using natural foods, what do you think might be the best thing for that?
Well, bone loss, I mean, just bone loss.
Or just maintaining bones, just, is there foods that we can use for that kind of thing?
Yeah, I mean, it's just about making sure you're getting plenty of vitamin D, you know, vitamin C in your diet, yeah. Making sure you're getting the good vitamins, you know, and the micronutrients as well. Okay, and you can get all that from different types of fruits and things as well, vegetables, you know. And you can, of course, top all that up with some supplements. But like I say, so long as you've got plenty of, you know, vegetables and fruit and things into your diet, then, you know, you shouldn't really need to take all this other stuff as well.
No,
you
know, absolutely.
I'll give you an example. My granddad was 96 years of age, and he would walk, you know, 8-10 miles a day, you know, right up until the last minute. You know, he never took supplements, you know, he never took all these things. He was just very active, you know, and, you know, he got out there, he walked, you know, and he looked after himself, you know. So, yeah, you can get everything that you really need from food. Unless, of course, you've got, you know, a condition or something like that.
Oh, yeah, of course, yeah. He was 96 years old and he could walk up to like 8 miles a day or something.
Yeah, he would walk all the time. So he was a keen fisherman. So my granddad was actually at the Normandy landings. So he was in...
Oh.
Amazing guy. And, he would walk up and down the town every day. And he would fish and he would golf, and he was, yeah, a very, very active guy right up until, yeah, the last kind of, yeah, 8-12 months of his life almost.
Gosh,
yeah.
He did really well, very well.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I think we need his plan, to be honest with you.
Yeah. But that's what I mean. You know, a lot of it is mindset. A lot of it is mindset. You know, a lot of the time, just in my experience, we tell ourselves these things that we need this and we need that. But ultimately, you know, a lot of it is mindset, you know.
Gosh, that's brilliant. We're just going to another quick ad break and we'll be right back.
UK Health Radio.
The station that makes you feel good.
UK Health Radio.
The station that makes you feel good.
Talk to us about business leaders, entrepreneurs trying to maintain a good, you know, nutritional diet, a good fitness diet, you know, routine, And then, you know, it's because you get people out there which are really busy. And you know this because you're one of those people that's been like this before. And now, to be honest, yeah. And it's difficult, isn't it? Balancing, you know, you're very busy during the day or night or whatever it is with business, etc. And then, but at the same time, you want to maintain good health. I mean, how do you balance them both?
Yeah, I mean, it is difficult. I mean, it's easy to get overwhelmed in business. And for everybody that's listening that's, you know, either tried to start their own business or you're in a startup or that's got an established business, you know, they will know what I'm talking about here. Now, you know, I run two businesses at the moment. I am full-time in business now. Last year, I was full-time in one property business. So I was in property for quite a few years there full time. So I understand how difficult it can be to prioritize yourself sometimes. You know, especially if then you've got family and you've got kids. And at one point I had a full time job. I was running two businesses and I've got my two kids as well.
Gosh.
I've had a couple of comments on social media when I've been saying, you know, I'm out doing, you know, a 16, 20 mile run or whatever, and then I'm training in the gym and stuff. And I've had comments about, you know, but where do we find the time and stuff? And, you know, you make the time. You make the time. You make the time to work. You make the time to eat. You make the time to sleep, you know, and you just need to make the time to train. It's your body. You only get one. And if your body and your mind is not operating properly, then it will not, you know, that will transfer into everything else that you do. All right. It will transfer into your business. It will transfer into your family life, you know. So it is difficult, you know, but there's lots you can do to get around that, you know, and it's taken me a long time to kind of work that out. But that's also what I help a lot of my clients with, you know, putting things in place to help that.
I mean, what are some of the effective time management strategies people can use to balance business and exercise? And maybe run us through yours as an example, or one of your, one of the people that you coach.
Yeah. So, you know, a lot of it, I mean, even for myself, like I'm a very busy guy, you know, I have lots of clients that I have to work with, you know, locally up here in the Highlands, but also online. I do a lot of work with people online as well from across the country. You know, and for me, you know, I'm very busy, but it's about planning, you know, preparation. I would just urge everybody to think about how they run their business. You know, like if they look at the goals, the business goals, like how do they achieve them? So they plan, don't they? You write down your goals, you're specific with them, you have dates in mind, and then you work back and say, right, how am I going to achieve this goal? And you put a plan in place to achieve those milestones, to achieve that ultimate goal. It's exactly the same with looking after your body. You just need to set a fitness and health goal. So the way I do it is I have my business goals. I have my relationship and my family goals, but I also have my fitness and nutrition goals, and I do not sacrifice them for anything. Okay. And I actually prioritize them because for me, it's most important, because if I'm not looking after myself and I'm not operating at peak performance, and you know, that affects my business, it affects my stress, it affects my mood, it affects how I operate, you know, so it has a knock-on effect for everything. So I plan, and if that comes back to everything, so nutrition, a lot of my friends in business as well, I try and help with this, is that, you know, they struggle because they're up in the morning, they're chasing their tail, they feel like they can't go to the gym or they leave it to the end of the day, and then they're bogged down in emails. You know, and then they have to just grab a quick sandwich or a Burger King because they've only got 10 minutes between meetings and it's overrun. Well, I say, well, why didn't you take food with you? Why haven't you prepared your meals? What I do is I have a cool bag and I prepare my meals twice a week. I actually get my meals made for me now from a local meal prep company. And that's what a lot of my clients do, because it's just there. It's prepared for you. But before that, I would just pick two nights a week. I would make enough meals for 3 days, and then every morning I go to the fridge, I put my meals in my bag, and I'm off, and I have it all day. And I just, you know, and it's really easy, but, you know, until you've done it and you've got into that new routine, you know, people think it's difficult, but it's really not. You just need to be prepared and plan ahead, you know, set goals.
Of course. Did you have something that was in writing, or like a rough, something roughly in your phone or something, just some kind of structure that you'd follow, or did you kind of keep it like naturally throughout the day, mentally stored in your mind?
No. So a couple of things that I do is I have alarms on my phone. And my alarms go off in the morning, and next to my alarms that go off, I'll literally have, right, get up and do my tracker. So I'll take my weight, I'll take my body pictures, I'll fill out my kind of, you know, my own stuff. Like, I do what I expect my clients to do, you know. So I do all that stuff in the morning. Then, I have an alarm that goes off when I need to eat, you know, and I have an alarm when it goes off, you know, at different stages. And I have notes next to the alarms, so they just remind me. So if I do get bogged down in emails, or, you know, a change in the website, or I'm dealing with an issue, the alarm goes off, it reminds me to eat. So it reminds me, all right? And I also use an app called Structured, which is very, very good. And that actually helps me plan my day. And like I said, I prioritize my fitness. So when I'm planning my 30 days, I plan out my month for all my clients and all the work that I have to do, the stuff that I know that I have to do. And within there, I actually set out the 2.5 hours of training that I need to do every day. And I put that in as a priority, because it is a priority, you know. There will always be in business, and this is what I found, there will always be stuff to do. There will always be projects. There will always be admin. There will always, you'll always feel overwhelmed at some point, you know. So that will never change, you know, as business leaders and entrepreneurs. It won't change, you know. So you need to just, you know, use things like that. Use the tools. You know, there's lots of different apps out there, you know, but it's about a routine. And that's what comes, that's what's the great thing about coaching is, it's that accountability. You know, I have weekly check-ins with all my clients. I have a lot of business owner clients, and that is what they, that is one of the biggest benefits to them, because they know that I'm going to be on to them that week if they've not filled out their trackers or if they've not done their training, you know. So having the accountability is massive as well.
Yeah, that sounds brilliant. Absolutely. What tips are there for staying energized and focused through, you know, proper nutrition while running a business?
Yeah, so, I mean, energize, well, make sure you're getting the right balance, you know. So it's very important, like I said earlier, that you're not just eating salads or, you know, whatever. You know, you need to make sure that you've got that right amount of macronutrients, that right balance, okay, so you've got the energy that you need, especially if you're training. You are going to feel tired and fatigued. You know, so following a good structured nutrition plan, personalized to you, will help you, you know, optimize what you do. All right, you're gonna be able to maintain energy levels, even though you're actually putting your body through a lot more stress through the week. You know, staying hydrated, eating regular and often, you know, that type of thing.
Give us obviously an example, but obviously there's no one that's in front of you right now, obviously, but just a generalized kind of that morning, what someone should have to eat and drink in the morning, lunch and tea time, just to keep a kind of a good diet, but one with, you know, where there's, you can get energy from it as well.
Sure. Well, I'll just give you mine, right? I'll give you mine.
Brilliant.
What I do is, so at the moment where I am in terms of training, so, you know, I'm looking at developing a little bit of muscle, just staying in shape. You know, I don't like to get too big because I like running. So I spend a lot of time in the hills. What I'm doing now at the moment is, so I'll eat 6 times a day. So in the morning, I'll have oats. So like oats with some berries and some protein in there. So I'll put 30 grams of protein in with my oats. I'll mix it up. So that's a really good, that's about 600 calories in that for me in the morning. And that gives me a huge amount of energy to get started in the day. I also have a cup of black vegan coffee, one or two cups of coffee is actually, you know, it's pretty good for your system. All right, gets your metabolism fired up in the mornings. And then I'll have like two boiled eggs with some turkey bacon and a thin bagel for my second meal. I'll then have chicken, about 150 grams of chicken with 100 grams of rice, pineapple and sweet corn. I'll then have, after the gym, I'll have 100 grams of cereal with some protein in it. I'll have another meal is like mince with sweet potato, kale, mushrooms, put lots of nice veg in that. What else will I do? And then I'll have a nice yogurt with berries, again, with 30 grams of protein in it. So as you see, all my meals have about, you know, have lots of protein in them, all right? Because that's what I need that protein for my muscle, for my recovery. And then I'll actually have an extra kind of protein shake, like a beef isolate shake before bed as well, because our bodies actually recover and grow while we're sleeping. Okay, our muscles repair themselves when we're resting. So having that extra protein at night before bed really helps with that kind of recovery process. And you know, I am actually still quite hungry throughout the day, so I'll eat every kind of 2 or 3 hours there. But my metabolism is firing all the time because I'm eating regular. You know, I'm training hard, and you know, I'm making sure that it's a low fat diet, but I'm still got the fats for energy. So as you see there, I've mentioned I've got sweet potato, I've got rice, you know, so that's all, you know, good carbohydrates there, the oats. I've got lots of protein in there from the meat and the additional whey protein and beef isolate that I put in there. And you get the fats from things like avocado, you know, and things like that that we can put in our meals as well. So yeah, that's just generally what I eat. And you know, also really, really important is my 4.5 liters of water that I drink a day as well, which is hugely important.
That sounds like a great diet.
Yeah, it is.
Honestly, it really is.
One other thing that I'll mention as well is that I also have an off meal plan. So once a week, I thank myself essentially for working hard, sticking to my plan. And then, you know, once a week, I'll have an off plan meal. You know, I'll treat myself. You know, I'll go for a nice meal, have what I want. And that just allows, you know, that's like a, you know, congratulations, you know what I mean? I've been working hard, I've been sticking to my plan, but it's not like I've been eating salads all week, you know? You know, I'm getting everything my body needs to grow and develop while staying in a calorie deficit. So I'm burning fat, but I'm still continuing to, you know, develop lean muscle so I can stay in great shape.
That makes a lot of sense though, because I think if people are too strict, actually has the opposite effect. You can end up binging.
Yeah.
So if you feel like a craving to have something, like, you know, your ice cream or your chocolate bar, whatever it is, then I say you should just have it.
Yeah, I mean, there's the ways you can go about that. So what I do is I actually, because a lot of my clients will say to me, "Oh no, I don't want to off plan meal. I just want to commit to this and I want to achieve my goals." And I'm saying, "Look, that's great. But if you go full into this and don't, you know, relax a wee bit about this, you're going to crash in a month's time." All right. I urge them and I make sure that they do have an off meal plan where they treat themselves and relax. Okay. Because they're in a deficit all week anyway. They're in a deficit, but you know, and they're eating really well all week. All right. So, but there are other snacks that they can have and that I have throughout. So, I mean, as an example, you go into Aldi, they've got lots of good things like 10 calorie jellies. You've got, you know, I'll munch on like celery or carrots and things like that. Fruit, you know, any fruit obviously is good for you. But there's other things like low calorie crackers and stuff and shops like Aldi and stuff. And it's, you know, there's lots of things out there where you can just have one or two of these snacks throughout the day with a good balanced meal plan like the one I've just shared with you. And, you know, but eating like that, like I've just shared with you, you're not going to be hungry. And that's the idea, you know, eating regular every 2 or 3 hours. So you actually full throughout the day and you don't want to snack, you know, that's the key.
That makes a lot of sense. Yeah, absolutely. What are some of the best workout routines for busy business professionals with limited time?
Yeah. So obviously, you know, short, sharp intensity sessions. So you've got your kind of HIIT training type stuff, you know, I mean, really, when you're doing high intensity stuff, it's, you know, if you're looking to burn fat, all right, and you know, get a bit of a toned body, the best, and you're limited for time, and you know, not just for business owners, but anybody like with a busy career or whatever, maybe you've got, you know, 2-3 kids at home or whatever, and you haven't got much time, all right, you know, you basically short, sharp, high intensity training, 20-30 minutes, getting the heart rate up, keeping the heart rate up nice and high, you know, and you can do that at home. You can do it in a park. You know, when COVID hit, I was out in the park. I was doing sprints, push-ups, sit-ups, dips, burpees, you know, you can do it anywhere. And it really only takes 20 to 30 minutes. All right. And you can do that wherever you want. You know, you can do it on your lunch break. You can do it in the morning when you get up. What I tend to find is when I was working and things, I would do it either straight after work. So as soon as I come in, like have my, you know, my training gear with me and on, or in the morning or at night before I go to bed, have all your training, you know, your phys kit, as I call it, your training shorts and stuff at the bottom of your bed ready to go. Because if you don't have it ready to go, you're not, you know, it's going to be much harder for you to get up find your clothes. You're going to start giving yourself excuses. Oh, you can't find your shorts or whatever. All right, make it easy for yourself, guys. Same with drinking. Yeah, have a bottle of water with you. Carry it about with you all day long, and I guarantee you, you'll drink more. If you've got your fizz kit by your bed, guarantee you, you're more likely to get up and go for that run in the morning. But you only need 20 to 30 minutes, guys. Yeah, circuit training, you know, that type of thing.
Brilliant. Paul, thank you so much for today. A lot of information there, which is, you know, very useful. If people want to get more advice or they want to use your services, where can they find you?
Yeah, so I'm all over social media. So Instagram, where StanStrong_fitness. You know, they can reach me at my website, so StanStrongFitness.uk.com. We're on Facebook, you know, StanStrong Fitness and Nutrition. So, yeah, anybody can contact me through the website, through social media at all. And that's the best way to reach me generally.
Excellent. Paul, thanks again for your time.
Thank you.
And thank you to our listeners. You know you can find me at GavinJ417 on Instagram. Until next time, take care.